Welcome to My Father's House Podcast, Episode 376, Roots in the Church. Pastor Sarah Velasquez delivered this message on Sunday, June 23rd, 2024, in Fort Wayne, Indiana.
So we've been in our series, Roots and Fruits. Have you been enjoying that? I hope so. Praise the Lord. We're going to do a little review before we jump in today to roots in the church. So the first message, I talked about being fruitful, about producing fruit, right? We talked, the whole series is about getting on the path as disciples and following Jesus and producing fruit. God wants us to produce fruit in our lives, correct? So let's review the definition of a disciple that we use here at My Father's House. It's so important that we define what it is, because if I think a disciple is one thing and you think something totally opposite, then how are we together going to make disciples? We all have a different idea of what that really is and what that looks like. So we need to define what a disciple is. So disciple is somebody who is following Jesus, somebody who is being transformed by Jesus. You guys have been listening. Awesome. And somebody who is on mission with Jesus. You filled in the blanks. Praise the Lord. So a disciple is somebody who is on the path, going after Jesus, following Jesus, has said in their life, I want to have a relationship with Jesus. I recognize that he's my Lord and Savior, and I want to do my best to live in his ways, walk in his word, apply faith in my life, and because of that, I will be being transformed. It's a constant state. We never have arrived, right? When we're here on this earth, we are constantly being transformed. That's the second part of the definition. We are constantly being changed as we are in his presence, as we spend time in the secret place with him, as we read his word that is sharper than a two-edged sword that never returns empty or void. We're transformed by him to look more like Jesus. And as we are on that process of being transformed, you know, he sets us free. Hallelujah. Who's set free in this place? Who's on the path to being set free? Hallelujah. It's sometimes a constant thing. And more, Lord, more. Yes. And we are then on mission with Jesus. We're not just here, like Sister Tanya said, to have a party, have a tent meeting, to just have a tent meeting, or have be here to have, you know, free Wi-Fi and some coffee and stare at the back of each other's head. We're here to be equipped, right? We come to church. Amen. I'm putting roots in the church. I'm skipping ahead to my message because I'm just excited. But to be on mission with Jesus, to do what he's called us to do, which is making disciples, right? Other people who want to be on the path following Jesus, other people who are in the process of being transformed by Jesus, and other people that are on mission with Jesus. So we are a church that has a strong discipleship vision and mission, and that is who we are, because we didn't make this up. This is what Jesus has told us in his word. Go and make disciples, right? So that is our heart, that is our DNA, that is what we want to do. So this series, Roots and Fruits, is talking about how can we really do that, and how can we do that well? How do we produce fruit in our lives? And one of the ways that we do that is by having good roots. You know that if a plant or a tree has bad roots, or it's being nourished in bad soil, and then the roots are going to be affected. The roots are it's the like life of the plant, right? And so likewise, we as disciples who are following Jesus, we need to have roots that are strong, because there's some wind, there's some storms, there's some rain that comes sometimes, right? And batters on us. But we're strong and we have the victory. And the stronger we are with the roots, let's review the roots messages. Then we can withstand those tests, those trials, the winds and the waves that threaten to knock us over and take us out, because that would be what the defeated one would want to do. Satan would want to take us out. But the stronger our roots are, no, we're standing. And so the roots that we as believers, as disciples of Jesus have, are in, do we remember what the first Roots message was? Roots in? It's 2 weeks ago. Roots in Jesus. He died on the cross for you, right? Roots in Jesus, in who Jesus Christ is, the Savior of the world, but he's your Savior. He's your personal Lord and Savior if you've invited him to be that in your life, right? And you're on the path to following him. So roots in Jesus, because there's roots that we could have. The world has roots in a lot of things, right? We could be following a lot of things, but we know that when we have our roots solid, firm, stable in who Jesus Christ is and everything that he is and is about, then we will be firm and steady and mature believers. Amen? And then last week, Pastor talked about roots in the Word, right? We have to have roots in the Word. Roots in the Word of God that is powerful. It's the incorruptible seed. It will never perish. It will never spoil. It will always accomplish what it goes forth to produce. Amen? And today is Roots in the Church. Hallelujah. I'm excited. This is my favorite one. I said, Pastor, I want to preach on roots in the church. Yes. Praise the Lord. Because he's given me roots in the church. Hallelujah. It's important. It's important. Because in order, it's one of the kinds of roots or one of the ingredients that helps our roots stay strong so that we can be firm and stable, mature believers, roots in the church. So we're just going to jump in today to this. So our mission, as we said, is to make disciples, right? It's what Jesus said for us to do. So let's just say when we do that together, we do it a lot better and we do it effectively. Because if I am on a Lone Ranger mission and I think that just me, myself, and I are going to go out and make disciples and disciples that will be equipped and be able to make disciples themselves, and I don't reach out to anybody and I don't want anyone's help and I'm doing this all on myself, I'm not going to do it very effectively. I'm not going to do it very well. So I like to say together is better. In making disciples, together, us doing this mission together is better. And that's why God has given us the local church. Hallelujah for the local church. That's us. We are a local church. We are the body of Christ, a portion of the body of Christ here in Fort Wayne, Indiana, right? My father's house. And so why do we need roots in the church? Well, we are stronger together. Together, this great commission that we've been given will be doable, and we can do it more effectively when we do it together. When we link arms, we link shields of faith, we link everything that we have in who we are in Jesus, we are just stronger together. And so that is, we're going to have three main points of like why together is better or why do I need roots in the church. Number one is we are stronger together. We can do this thing of making disciples much better together than we can apart. Amen? I need the body and the body needs me. That's not a prideful statement, but we all are a piece of the body, that we all bring that piece, that body part to the body, so that together we can accomplish what God has called us to do, which is making disciples. Right. So imagine trying to do a large, heavy task like, I don't know, moving a baby grand piano, doing that by yourself. If I say, okay, here's, like, if we had a baby grand piano up here yesterday when we were, you know, moved all the things out of the way so that we could clean the carpets. Okay, you, just one, you come and move that piano out of the way so we can clean the carpet in that section. Yeah, no, you're going to look for help. You're going to do it together. And so making disciples, It's possible when we do it together and we do it through the power of Jesus, because he said, he promised that I will not leave you. I will be with you till the end of the age, right? That's the end of the Great Commission, what he said. So imagine you doing it, moving the heavy, large, awkward baby grand piano by yourself versus doing it with a team. Come on, you get this part, I get this part. Okay, one, two, three, let's go. You know, let's push, let's lift, whatever. It might take 10 of us, you know, it might take the 12 disciples, praise the Lord. But they'll get the job done, right? Because if one person tried to do it, they would hurt themselves. They would, it's too big of a job. They would hurt themselves, they would finish sore, broken, tired, and probably only moved it half an inch or something, you know, not really completed the task. So let's jump into the book, Ephesians 4. Thank you, Sister Tanya, for setting up the message perfectly here. I was thinking, oh, she's in my notes, but she was right around my notes, not right on the same verses. So she was setting me up. Praise the Lord. See, we work in a team. That's perfect example. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Along with the blood of Jesus that Sister Elizabeth mentioned, because we need the blood of Jesus. It's covering us. It's our protection in this of making disciples, because we know that we have an enemy out there roaming around looking for who he can devour, who's trying to take us off, right? Okay, Ephesians 4, 11 through 14. It says, now, these are the gifts Christ gave to the church. Oh, wow, he gave us gifts. What kind of gifts did he give us? Let's read. The apostles, the prophets, the evangelists, and the pastors and teachers. Their responsibility is to equip God's people to do his work and build up the church, the body of Christ. This will continue until we all come to such unity in our faith and knowledge of God's Son that we will be mature in the Lord, measuring up to the full and complete standard of Christ. Then we will no longer be immature like children. We won't be tossed or blown about by every new wind of teaching. We will not be influenced when people try to trick us with lies so clever they sound like the truth. Okay, so gifts have been given to the church. We call this the fivefold ministry. They are, let's say them, apostles, what's the next one? Prophets, the evangelists, pastors, and teachers, right? And their job is to equip the body of Christ. We, all of us, make up the body of Christ. But this group has been given just a role to help train and equip and ready the body of Christ to be able to do his work, which is to build up the church. So if we're building up the church with disciples, of course we would have to do that together with the church, right? It's not a single person task or even two people together task. It's the whole body coming together to do that. And this group, the fivefold ministers, coming together to do that, to say, come on, let's go, like provide some structure and training and encouragement and leadership to the body so that we can all do what he asked us to do. And we do that together. And it says that mature family members of God will be produced, right? That's what it's saying in like verse 13. This will continue, this equipping of the body of Christ will continue until we all have come to such unity in our faith. Unity means oneness, coming together, that we're all going in the same direction, in the same way. Hallelujah. And so that we will be mature in the Lord. That's the goal, for us to be mature with solid, strong, stable roots, right? And our lives will resemble Christ. Amen? Don't you want your life to resemble Christ Jesus? To be full of fruit. Jesus, when he walked the earth, his life was the most fruitful. Would you agree? He produced fruit. And fruit that remains. We are the fruit today, We are the fruit that remains today of what Jesus started 2,000 plus years ago. And this verse is saying we will reach unity when Christ is at the center of that, when we are focused on who Jesus is among us. There's a lot of other things in a group of people that we could focus on. Well, she's doing this, and he sat in my seat, you know, unity. Keep your eyes on Jesus. He's the one. He's the rock. He's our firm, strong tower, and he is the one that will keep us walking in love, first of all, and I'm going to talk about that because that's an important part of this. To make this work, we've got to walk in love. We've got to walk like Jesus did, extending mercy and love and grace to each other. Hallelujah. Christ provided, like I said, this, back to this verse, fivefold ministry giftings to build us up. He wants the church built up like a house would be built, like the house over here that's being built up. We're watching that, each piece going together. It's being built up. And all together, we can be strengthened as Christ, as we're all looking to Christ in that unity, all looking back to the center of who we are is Christ Jesus, and of course, his word as the guide, to have that unity, to bring us together. And we grow up in that. There's growing that happens. Who's grown since they've been here together at this family, this body of Christ? Amen. Hallelujah. As we grow strong, our roots grow. They grow strong. And guess what? Decreases selfishness, immaturity. That's what we want, right? That's going to help us get grounded, like it says in Ephesians in a different place, being rooted and grounded, established in him, rooted and grounded in his love, right? Then we're able to stand. We're able to stand strong, stand steady, and not be blown about by every which wind and wave, because there's a lot of different kinds of teachings. We have the internet at our fingertips. You can type in any minister's name or church or just a topic and put in sermons on YouTube and, you know, watch and get a lot of different kinds of teaching, right? But we want the unity of Christ in his word and hear what we are doing to equip and be in that unity so that we can be strong together. Steady and strong, strong roots. So I know a few weeks ago I mentioned this when we were up here and the power of the Holy Spirit was moving about the strength of the redwood trees. Have you seen the pictures of the sequoia or the redwood trees? You can go ahead and put the picture of the, if you have the one of the, yes, that one, the tall trees here. These trees, the redwood trees in California, and I believe they're in some other states, they are on average 200 to 240 feet tall. Their roots go about 10 feet deep only. So 10 feet, that's a small percentage of the 200, let's say, just to keep it even numbers, 200 feet tall. Praise the Lord. But they extend, the roots go 10 feet deep, but they extend outward 50 to 80 feet, and they intertwine with each other, and they give strength to the other trees. The trees are normally close together. You can go to that picture that shows like the base or the trunk of the base of the trees, and look how huge they are. They're so wide. Like, I liked this picture because it shows a person standing there that you can kind of put it to scale of these things are massive around. I didn't write down the average, you know, diameter of the trunk of it, but they are huge. And they have thick bark. These trees have thick bark for protection. Hey, that's like us. We have thick skin because we have Jesus, right? We're not easily offended. I was studying about these trees and I just kept getting more things like, wow. And they live for 1,000 plus years. strong and mature. So Sister Nita, you are a baby. And in terms of these trees, you're just an infant. You got many more to go to get to with these trees. 1,000+ years, strong and mature. And part of the secret of the strength of the of these kinds of trees is the roots. So let's go to the picture of the roots. Like we said, they only go about 10 feet deep, but they extend outward 50 to 80 feet, and they all intertwine there. This tree's roots are linked with the one behind it and the one over there and the one over here. They're all together, and that's a picture of us in the body of Christ. We are linked and connected together. He wants us to be that way. Because each of us in ourselves doesn't have it all going on. We need each other. We each bring something to the table to help, right? And so when one is weak, the other is strong and says, you know, if one tree is like, I got you. My roots are here. I got you. The one behind, the one in front, the one beside, right? And they grow so tall, and they live for a long time, and they have a thick skin. Praise the Lord. There's just a lot that God can speak to us through nature. Hallelujah. The underground network of roots helps the trees to withstand, you know, all the storms, fires, floods, earthquakes, and anything else that you can imagine that could come against it, right? The roots also, they support new redwood trees that sprout up from them, which is more successful than growing from cone seeds. So they sprout from themselves, like they're reproducing. I was like, hey, reproducing the like kind, like us, disciples, producing more disciples. That's what happens with the trees. They sprout up naturally among each other. And then they can be seen growing in family circles. They call them family circles. Like, wow, that's cool. Because they sprouted from the roots of a parent tree. So the roots of the parent tree gave sprout to another tree, and then that's why they're in this family circle, and the roots are all intertwined. Praise the Lord. You could think of our cell groups that way. They are family circles. The roots are tied together in each cell group. Amen? And you know each other when you're putting roots in the church. You come to cell groups so that you can really get to know each other more than just you do on a Sunday morning, just casually saying hi, or like I said, staring at the back of their head when we're worshiping. But really having the blessing that comes out of knowing each other and centering around the Word of God, and, you know, calling somebody, being able to rely on, hey, you know, I'm going through this storm. The storm is threatening to blow me over. And the roots of your brothers, the roots of your sisters will help you stay strong. That you will be encouraged. Amen? Amen. Okay, point number two. So that was, we are stronger together, was number one. These are reasons why we need roots in the church, because we're stronger together. Number two, family is God's design. Amen. Family is God's design. It's his plan. He didn't intend for us to be lone rangers, but rather, you know, the song, is this from the 70s? I don't know. We are family, my brothers and my sisters and me, right? I don't know much more than that, but that's what I know. So, you know, I'm writing this sermon and singing this song. We are family. Yes, it is God's design that we would be in a family to support each other, to do this work of making disciples, of producing other disciples, like the baby sprouts that would come out of the family circle. Amen. So there's a family aspect to how the Bible talks about discipleship, if you've ever seen that when you're reading the Word. It talks about being born again, like a baby is born again, and a baby is born into a family, right? It talks about growing up. It talks about being rooted and grounded in Christ and reaching maturity, just like the development of a baby to a child, you know, going through different stages of development. And that happens within the family atmosphere, the family environment, because that's God's plan. And that is also his plan for us in the church. Family is such an integral, important part, aspect of a baby's growth. Do you agree? Imagine just an infant growing, you know, without a loving and supporting family. That child is going to struggle, right? The growth, the strength of the family produces maturity, security, identity in that baby, in that child, right? And likewise with a new believer. When the new believer comes in and they're welcomed into this family, they begin to grow because the strength of the aunts and the uncles and the tías and the tíos, that means aunts and uncles in Spanish, and the abuelos, you know, the grandparents and the sisters and the brothers and everybody, right? And you got Sister Sandpaper correcting how you talk, and you know, and Sister Green Thumb planting seeds of the word all the time so that you'll talk right and all these things. But it's done in love, and that's the aspect, the beautiful aspect of family. If a little plant is all by itself, it's not going to maybe grow as big and strong because it has maybe no other plant to shade it or to hook its roots onto, no other plants to lean on, just like you could apply that to like talking about the redwood trees as well. You know, sometimes we see church as an event we go to or a building that we come to instead of a family that we belong to. But God's design, I believe, is for us as the church, the local church, to be a family. And we need a revelation that this is my family. I'm on the path to following Jesus. And this is the family. This is the soil where he's planting me so that I can bloom here, that I can mature here. I can put roots here in this place and be strong and steady. Hallelujah. And when I'm not strong and steady, the roots of the other plant right next to me are strong and steady. Another plug for cell group. Go to cell group. Come to church. Come to the meetings. Come to the things that we have going on. Praise the Lord to engage, right? So it's so important that we see church not just as a building or an event, but as a family. We are a family, and we are in this. We've all been given the Great Commission, and so let's be in it together, and let's do it together. You know, if we see God as Father, then it's easier to see our brothers and sisters or people at church as brothers and sisters and not just, you know, man and woman or people. That they are the family that he has given us, that God is Father, Christ is at the center, and these are my brothers and sisters. This and aunts and uncles and, you know, cousins and all the beautiful parts of family. The church is a supernatural family. It is his body. It is the body of Christ. Christ is the head of that body, right? Christ is the head of us. And if we all keep focused on Jesus and who he is and keep looking back to him and don't veer away from this, then we will be in unity together as a family, a supernatural family. Is somebody getting excited? Like, I am preaching myself excited. I was already excited today, but anyways, I'm more excited now because this family grows and gets strengthened through being built up by each other. That like takes the pressure off, you know? I don't have to have it together all the time. I don't, you know, that's a lot of pressure to have it together all the time. My brother and my sister is here. They are here for me. As a family, we are here for each other. And we are here to represent Christ to each other. Christ, who is the center. He's the head of us. So we must be joined together for that to happen, right? for growth, for maturity to happen, we have to be connected. We have to be joined together. If we never see you, it's hard to be joined together with you, right? Amen. Good point, Pastor Sarah. Okay, praise the Lord. I'll take a little sip and you can let that process that one. Hallelujah. How does the body of Christ grow? Let's look at a few verses after where we stopped reading in Ephesians 4. So Ephesians 4, we stopped after verse 14, I believe. So let's pick up at 15 and 16. They are on it back there. Look, it's already up there. Praise the Lord. Thank you, ladies. You're awesome. Appreciate you. So Paul is talking about the body of Christ here growing and maturing so that we won't be infants. There's another reference to like family, right? Child development. Infants are in a family. And no longer, as they're these infants are growing up, they're no longer going to be tossed around by the winds and the waves and all the kinds of doctrines of teaching so that they would be deceived, right? So then it says in 15, instead of being blown and tossed around, we will speak the truth in love. That's part of our job as a family, to speak the truth in love to each other, growing in every way more and more like Christ, who is the head of his body, the church. He makes the whole body fit together perfectly. Ooh, that's good. I'll read that one again. He makes the whole body fit together perfectly. As each part does its own special work, it helps the other parts grow so that the whole body is healthy and growing and full of love. That is a description of us here at my Father's house, right? And even more, we can fit into that and grow into that picture, helping the other parts grow. Each one, each part, body part that we represent, we each bring ourselves, right, to this body to help the other parts grow so that the whole body is healthy and growing and full of love. That should be the description of the church as a whole. That's how he dreams that the church would be, healthy and growing and full of love. Full of love. Praise the Lord. Praise the Lord. Growing in every way more and more like Christ. He makes the body fit together perfectly. If we're submitted to him, we're surrendered to him, we're a part of the family, he's going to make it work. Hallelujah, we look to him. And each part does, there's some action in the doing, in the does there, in its own special work. You have to come and do your own special work. What's your special work? What part of the body are you? Each part of the body then is connected together in order to move and grow. Think about a human body, right? A hand just laying on the ground here, disconnected from the rest of the body, isn't going to be able to do much. It's just flopping around and it's a hand, right? It might be trying to build something or trying to serve, but it's not going to be able to have, if it doesn't have feet, it's not going to go, right? It doesn't have a wrist to be able to move, the arm. All the parts together, working together. Like verse 16, every part of the body does its own part or has its own role or function. So you alone aren't the supply. Yikes, bajarnos un poco, that'll take us down a notch. That'll, you know, pinch a pin in our bubble, our balloon, you know, pop our balloon of, oh, it's me, myself, and I'm making disciples all over the world, and I'm doing this, and I'm doing that, and I'm doing this. Well, we need each other. We need each other to do it, right? Absolutely. We need all the parts of the body together working to make disciples. The task isn't impossible, but we will be able to accomplish it when we do it together. That's how he designed it. His family together making disciples. You cannot alone make disciples effectively, Are we getting this? I know it's a little repetitive, but I just want this to sink in. Thank you, Holy Spirit, for ministering to our hearts and our lives today, this truth. Okay, let's look at 1 Corinthians 12. This also talks about this, the body, the metaphor of the body. So 1 Corinthians 12, verse 12, and then we're going to jump ahead to 19 through 21. So it says, the human body has many parts. This is the word to back up what I was just telling you. I didn't make it up. The human body has many parts, but the many parts make up one whole body. So it is with the body of Christ. We're all different parts. What part are you? Are you the little appendix? Are you the elbow? Are you the neck? It's all important, right? That was 12. Okay, verse 19. How strange a body would be. How strange a body would be if it only had one part. Yes, there are many parts, but only one body. The eye can never say to the hand, I don't need you. The head can't say to the feet, I don't need you. Wow. We can't do our own thing. We need each other, right? We each have different giftings. He's wired us to be an elbow, if that's how he's wired us. And I need the upper arm, I need the lower arm, I need the hand, I need the wrists, I need all of it to be able to do my part and do it, bring my part to the body so that we can all do it together. We need to be connected to the source, who is Christ. And together, the body moves, right? All the body moves together. We have to stay where God has placed us. In the local church, because that's where we'll receive the nourishment, the equipping of the fivefold ministry, like we already read, to be flowing in the supernatural flow of God, so that we're growing and maturing, each contributing to the task of making disciples. So I have been doing a little bit of gardening this year, and of course, now I'm seeing all these metaphors when I'm out there and tending to my plants and things, and just call me Sister Green Thumb, and not quite, I haven't quite arrived with the planting and gardening, but I'm learning some things, and I learned how important roots are. My wonderful husband, Santos, helped make a dream come true, and we collected for, I don't know, a year or two, these different sized terracotta pots. And we made, because we saw this picture, I saw this picture somewhere of like a, oh, I should have brought a picture of it. But anyway, it's a tower. And so the biggest terracotta pots are in the bottom and there's a rod that goes through. And so really that's not important to what I'm telling you, but I'm just visual and it's a cool thing. And I'm excited about my garden tower. And so I planted different little plants and things in each pot. And one of them, with the heat a few weeks ago, it didn't do very well at all. Several of the plants, right? That's why I haven't arrived yet. And so I went out and I'm like, this thing is really dead. I got to take it out of there. And I took, moved the soil a little bit and I took out what I had planted, you know, and the plant itself was just totally dead, but it's all just hanging on there, scraggly and not looking full of life at all. And I took it out, and it was in the exact same form as when I put it in there. Like, you know the little plastic black containers that you buy them from the garden stores? And the shape, whatever shape of that mold of the container, that's the shape. Well, that was the shape. So basically, like the soil, when the water hit it, like the soil didn't spread out, the roots didn't spread out. It just stayed bound, basically. And guess what? It died, right? I said that, right? The thing died because it didn't plant, it didn't root in the soil that it was planted in. So, yeah, I mean, I learned that. So, you got to break it. What does that mean for us? When we come together, I mean, you could come and go through the motions of coming to a cell group or coming to service, but stay bound and stay by yourself and never really connect, never really engage. I know I'm stepping on some toes here, but I just want you to think about this and look at your garden and Ask the Holy Spirit to speak to you. Let's not stay bound, right? Because that plant withered and died because it was just by itself. It wasn't broken up in the hand of the potter, right? In the atmosphere of family, to be able to have that plant root and grow and mature, and the thing got killed off. Don't be the one to be killed off. Pastor Harley likes to say, you know, the first banana that leaves the bunch is the first one to get skinned. Don't leave the bunch. Stay with the bunch. Like, don't get skinned. We need each of you. Talking about banana plants, talking about roots, all these things. Don't be skinned. Stay with the group. Stay in the design of family that God has placed you in. Bloom where you're planted. Amen? Amen. Amen. You will grow and flourish as you really put roots. Allow yourself to be broken up by the Holy Spirit, by the power of His presence, by His word, by Sister Green Thumb who's here, by Sister Sandpaper, Brother Sandpaper who's here. And allow yourself to be broken a little bit so that you can fit into the soil where He plants you, so that your roots can grow firm and strong, and you won't shrivel up and die. We don't want anybody to get skinned or shrivel up and die. We want you to be a part and growing and maturing and have your roots strong and stable. Get plugged into the church. Whenever you go to a church, it's important to engage, to find out what is the vision of the house in that place. Well, I'm telling you here, the vision here is to make disciples. And so find out the vision and plug into it. Engage. Let your roots connect with that, with that vision, and run with it. Bring your body part and your piece to the table so that everybody can be strengthened by what you have, because each one of you is important. And I wanted to say that when we were also reading this about the different body parts, no comparison. Let's mature. Let's get over the comparison thing. Well, the elbow's a lot more skinny than I am, and wow, that looks so sharp, and you know, the eye is so nice, and I don't have this and this. And or I'm better than it because I'm the foot and I'm so strong and I can move places. And we all need each other. If you're a foot by yourself, you're not all that in a bag of chips, right? The whole body is beautiful together because it's Christ who's the head of us. One body part alone, like we're just, I mean, I know I'm his favorite, but by myself, I just, sorry, that's from our healing class, little joke that we have. I mean, he's just that good, and I'm his favorite, but by myself, I'm not good. I can be his favorite, but I'm not going to make disciples and do what he said, and I can just be, oh, kumbaya, I'm his favorite, and I'm just over here, but I'm not accomplishing what you told me to accomplish, because I need the whole body with Christ at the head to do it. Amen? So let's grow up and not look at and compare ourselves. I'm inferior or I'm superior to anybody else in the body. We all need each other. And we need to be broken up. I like that. That was fresh, heavy revy today. Fresh revelation of being broken up so that that can spread out, so our roots can grow. Hallelujah. Okay, I was thinking the beginning parts of the service, we went so fast, so I said to Santos, I can preach for over an hour, praise God, because we have all this time. So you guys doing okay? Yeah. All right, praise God. Hallelujah, because we're moving to point three now. All right, so that was about family, right? What was the cute little way I said it? Family is God's design. Okay, so number three, point three, love grows in together. In togetherness, in unity, love can grow there. That is an atmosphere when we are united with Christ as the head of us who is the body, we will grow, and love is a main ingredient there that's flourishing. Praise the Lord, and it's required. Maturity in Christ equals loving God and loving others. So, scripture, John 17, verse 20 to 23. This is Jesus praying to the Father, right, before he leaves the his disciples. He says, so John 17, verse 20 to 23. I am praying not only for these disciples, but also for all who will ever believe in me through their message. I pray that they will all be one, just as you and I are one, as you are in me, Father, and I am in you. And may they be in us so that the world will believe you sent me. I have given them the glory you gave me so they may be one as we are one. I am in them and you are in me. May they experience such perfect unity that the world will know that you sent me and that you love them as much as you love me. Wow, that is powerful. Jesus is praying for us. That's amazing. Jesus prays for us to be in unity. That is a cool thing. If we, as the body of Christ, would get together and really start or continue and increase our love for each other, we would evangelize the world. That's what this is saying, that the world will believe that the Father sent Jesus when they see us being united, being in one heart and mind, and they see us, they will know us by our love is another scripture that we could use here, right? They will see that and go, wow, that's different. I want that. I want to be a part of a family who loves each other despite their differences, loves and forgives despite disagreements maybe or hurts or things that happen. A place where you can be loved just for who you are and not have to do anything to earn it. That's the grace of God, right? And that's what we are endeavoring to walk in. And then it says also, Jesus gave us the glory that he received from the Father. What a generous King Jesus we have. He received glory from the Father, and he gave that glory to us in order for us to be united. Do you see the glory on us? There's glory in unity. Praise the Lord. Praise the Lord. Is being in a family always easy? No. You know that from your family experience, right? It requires love. Like really loving people. It requires a commitment to the body. Is it always going to be really fun? Maybe not. We have to abide in Christ, but also in the relationship with each other and be a part of the body in order to be healthy. In order for it to be healthy, we all have to show up and rely on Jesus and the glory that he's given us to love each other and to be unified. This involves, so fun, dying to ourselves. Who loves that? Dying to ourselves. Selfishness down. Unity increases. Praise the Lord. Looking not for my own interest. Not staring, as my mentor in Argentina used to say, not staring at your own belly button all day long, but looking up around me to those around me, those that are in my family, where he has planted me so that I can be connected to the body, I can be in relationship with one another, and not, I can be looking out, how can I love and serve my brother and sister instead of how can I just meet my own needs and serve my own self, right? It requires, you know, the agape, that's the way you say it, agape love that is beyond us. It's not the natural, fuzzy, warm feeling, emotional kind of love. This is the love of Christ, right? That allows us then to fight through problems, to fight through differences. I mean, there's a lot of different, even in this room, a lot of different ages. We represent different families, different ethnicities, different, you know, first languages, all the things, so many backgrounds. We see things differently. We're going to have to extend that love the agape love. We're going to have to extend forgiveness. Praise the Lord. We've been forgiven, right, from Jesus. So we have the ability in us to forgive with Jesus's power in us, to extend grace to each other so that we can grow together. There's healing in that. There's healing in the body of Christ so that each member can come in and get healthy and have roots. Maybe somebody comes in with some roots that aren't so healthy. All of us have some roots, you know, at one time or another still that aren't so healthy. And by being planted here in the body, those roots can get healing. We can be healed by the body. I know this is repetitive. Are we getting this? Yes. Praise the Lord. So that we can move along the path of following Jesus and caring for each other and together. Hey, let's go. Let's go. Let me show you what love really is. The design of family for God's dream for us to be united in love as a family so that each member becomes healthy. There's accountability in that. And that's something that comes out of, you know, when you have relationship, like in cell group, or if you have a want, you can talk to me if you don't have this and want this, you know, at my Father's house, we do one-on-one discipleship. This is how one of the ways, along with cell group, how people are grown, how they are putting and getting their roots treated, like Pastor Harley has talked about, so that they can be stable, add stability to their lives, right? You know, when I lived as a full-time missionary in Argentina with YWAM, it was not easy. I could tell you lots of stories about living in community. Sometimes at different times of the year, depending on what schools we had going on, it would maybe be like 12 of us, 10, or a larger group of like 20, 25 people in this house, like old style, awesome Italian type style house in Argentina. And so many times I remember being just frustrated with people. People are frustrating, you know, like they don't see things like I see things. And there was one sister who was just like, you couldn't find anybody more different than me. She was wild and spontaneous and like creative and just all over the place. And I'm just like, oh my gosh, this girl. And then she became part of the evangelism team, which I was leading. So I had to lead her. And then at one time, you know, the leaders like to just keep us on our toes with this of, you know, dying to self and loving each other. So they would just, I'm sure there was a reason beyond that, but it just seemed like they were torturing us of like, oh, we're going to switch up the rooms and now you're going to have new roommates. And then she became my room, not only like I was leading her in the team, she became my roommate, like, oh my God, along with 5 other girls. And it was just like, oh my gosh, her room's a mess. She has stuff all over the place. She's in and she's out and she like wants to paint all this stuff on the walls. And she, oh my gosh, this girl's wild. Like, I love her. I love you, Ruth, wherever you are. Praise the Lord. But I learned to love Ruth. It was a brokenness in myself of getting over myself. And God began to like, say to me, what can you learn from her? So if there's somebody that's like sandpapering you, what can you ask the Holy Spirit? What do you want to teach me through this person? Maybe, you know, he was trying, I'm sure, trying to teach me to loosen up a little bit, to be a little more spontaneous, to be creative. But we needed her on the team. I mean, I guess we needed her in our room, too. She brought fun. You know, she was like the life of the party and stuff. And she taught me to be fun. See, I'm more of who I am today because of different people sandpapering me throughout my time. But just an illustration of when you can open your heart to somebody who's different than you, a different, totally different extreme part of the body that has a totally different function and sees things in a different way and operates in a different way. You need that person, and that person needs you. And when you can humble yourselves and get over yourself, you can learn and receive from them. And so my heart really started to open, and I had to repent, of course, of, you know, like putting up a wall with her. And God like used her incredibly on the evangelism team. We, you know, that her creativity and her way that she related to people when we were on the streets was awesome. And she brought something fresh, and she got me to loosen up a little bit. Praise the Lord. Hallelujah. It stretches us. Loving people truly stretches us beyond our comfort zone. And doesn't Jesus just love to do that? That's how he's transforming us. And he uses the body to do that if we stay surrendered to his love. So how? What are some practical, I love how Pastor Harley toward the end of his message last week did some like practical to-do items, he said, of like how do we feed the roots with good nutrition so that the root system grows strong. And of course, in today's case, we're talking about roots in the family, I was going to say, roots in the church. So the to-do items for how to strengthen your roots in the church would be, and I've mentioned some of them, connect. Get connected and participate in a cell group. If you're not in a cell group, you are missing out. You're missing out. And there are several different cell groups. I'm pointing back there because it's written on the bulletin. We have men's and women's groups. So get connected and participate and allow your roots to spread out. Get to know people, share, and listen to what other people are sharing. Another way, come to church regularly. We want to see you. We want to see you. We want to have you grow with us as we're all growing, as we receive the word together with Christ at the center, Christ at the head. 9 a.m. prayer. Did you know we have a 9 a.m. prayer time from 9 to 9:30? We're here praying. I mentioned one-on-one discipleship. If you're interested in that, that is connecting with a leader who is maybe slightly further along the path of following Jesus than you are, and they will walk with you one-on-one. So you have a cell group setting, and then there's one-on-one where you connect and you work it out with them of how you're going to meet or how you're going to do things. Some one-on-one pairs are, you know, studying a certain book, a certain resource. Some are, you know, doing different things at different times for the roots to be strengthened. It's accountability. It helps you get stable. That one-on-one disciple maker is your point person, so to speak, your go-to person. I need help. I'm struggling. They're the one you go to. I mean, you can go to any of us leaders, but when you have that one-on-one person, there's accountability, and you're like, oh, they gave me an assignment. I know they're going to ask me. I know they're going to ask me what I, you know, what revelation I got from the verse that we talked about last week, and I better do it. You know, I better press in and do my homework. It's so that you can grow. Praise the Lord. And then there's lots of other opportunities we have, like yesterday, serving together. We do the prayer meeting on Tuesday nights here is awesome. We are sharing together. If somebody has a prayer request or something they want to share, we kind of are ministering to that together. We're getting the word. We're getting teaching in prayer, and we're studying humility. So come and join us Tuesday nights at 8:00 and become humble. Praise the Lord. There's a commercial, sister. It's been good. And we sing, and we're singing worship and learning to sing in Spanish a little bit. We do a little of everything. It's awesome. Worship nights, Dad's Prayer Warriors, special events, the tent meeting. There's not an excuse for not connecting. So connect with us. Be a part of the body. Praise the Lord. Okay, I'll land the plane. Here we come on the runway. Making disciples together is just so much better. Would you agree? Yeah. Together is so much better. because we're stronger together. We have family is God's design. It's his plan. Love grows in together. And we know love covers a multitude of sins. Love heals our hurts. Love heals us from the past, right? So let's do this. Who's in? Like Tanya asked before, right? Let's be like the solid, strong, stable redwood trees whose roots intertwine together and support each other. Let's get strong roots in the church and, of course, in Christ and in the Word as well. Let's bloom together where he's planted us. You're here. So be planted here. Praise the Lord. Root here. Let's produce fruit and fruit that remains to bring glory to the Father. We studied that the first message of this series, that when we produce fruit and fruit that remains, that brings glory to the heart of the Father. And he is pleased and he is helping us and he is strengthening us. Praise the Lord. So why don't you stand and let's pray together as we end this. Hallelujah. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Lord. Shiaka soka babariata tata kabasia kababariata. Shiaka babariata. Oh, we bless your name. Your plan is perfect. Your design is perfect. We thank you, Father God. We thank you for your design of family. You know that together we are better. Together we are stronger. You have planted us here in this place, and we depend on you, Holy Spirit. We want our roots to be strong and stable. We want to be mature in you. And like those redwood trees, Father, we want to grow tall and strong. We want to be able to last and live for 1,000+ years with the strong protection, the strong bark, Father. And we want our roots to intertwine with our brothers and sisters that leads us, or that gives us that strength and that stability. Thank you, Lord. I thank you for each person here, each member of my Father's house. I thank you for each body part represented, each function and each role. Father, each one is important. I pray, Father, for the body and for each part, body part, that you would give them a revelation of their role and the significance and the importance of their role. That nobody is superior, nobody is inferior. We just put comparison under our feet in the name of Jesus. And we just, when, you know, we look to you for that revelation of our identity and who we are and that role in the things that you've placed in each one of us, that we don't need to be ashamed of that. We don't need to be over proud of that, but we bring who we are to the family of Christ. We bring that together to the body to so that the body is strengthened because of what we have. And we open our hearts, Father, to the other body parts that make up the body. And we acknowledge that we need the other ones. I need my brothers and I need my sisters. I need what they bring so that together we can all advance. Thank you, Lord, for helping us advance. You are with us and you are for us in this task of making disciples, and we will advance. I declare and I prophesy to my Father's house that you will advance with Christ as the head of the body. We will advance in making disciples who make disciples, and many generations will be produced. Father God, I thank you that our roots go strong in Christ, of course, and strong in the Word, and strong in the church. I thank you that many of us will be planted here with strong roots in each other, in this family. I thank you, Lord, for your Spirit treating our roots in any of those areas that need to be treated in Christ, in the Word, in family. Father, if there are those that have been hurt by a church family or being in a church body or even their own earthly family. We pray healing to those roots in the name of Jesus. We rip out every lie that they've received from those hurtful or harmful experiences. We expose the power of the enemy. We break the power of the enemy, and we declare healing, that there's healing in the body of Christ. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Jesus. Yes, Lord, have your way with us at my Father's house. Thank you for using us and using my Father's house as a part of the larger body of Christ, you know, at the large C church. Father, you use us in the function to connect with other churches so that we can all together be in unity and lift you up and see your glory manifested in our unity, that the world will know through us here at my Father's house and through our unity with others in the body of Christ, the world will know that you, that the Father has sent Jesus, and they will know us by our fruit. They will know us by our love. Thank you, Lord, that we are known as a church who loves each other, who walks in the love of Jesus, a church who is strong in Christ, strong in the word, strong in church, and we are making disciples who make disciples. Thank you, Lord, for giving us wisdom as we do that. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Jesus. Can you just say, I'm an important part of the body.
I am an important part of the body.
Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Jesus. Amen. Amen. Hallelujah.
Thanks for listening to this episode of My Father's House podcast. We hope you'll subscribe to hear our latest updates. My Father's House is a non-denominational Christian church located at 5712 Bass Road in Fort Wayne, Indiana. We invite you to visit us by checking schedule information at mfhfw.org. At our website, you can also support the work of My Father's House with your tax-deductible donation. We pray that you may prosper in all things and be in health, just as your soul prospers.